Precision medicine holds great promise for treating genetic diseases, such as certain types of cancers. To drive progress, Harvard Business School Executive Education has developed a new program, Accelerating Innovation in Precision Medicine, which brings together leaders from business, science, medicine, and technology to explore new models for advancing personalized medicine. The program takes place on the Boston campus in September. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/precision. That's hbs.me/precision.
Log Talk Radio.
It's time for the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show with your host, Sheila Willis. It all starts with the mind. As it has been said, as a man thinks, so is he. So when your mind is happy, your life is happy. You'll discover that when your mind is happy, your relationships get better. When your mind is happy, your health gets better. You'll even discover when your mind is happy, your money gets right. So tune in and let's discuss how to have a happy mind in order to have a happy life. Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. This is your host, Sheila Willis, Abundance Life Coach. And you know, as always, I am excited to be here, happy to be here with you, and I am as equally excited that you are tuning in and you are here with us on tonight. Today is April 26, 2018, and it is 5:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again, welcome to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. I am flying solo today. I have some things that I really do want to share with you, the listening audience. I'm going to say particularly women, not to diss the men that are part of the listening audience, but this show has really been put together to encourage and to uplift women, and then men, the things that I share today, you can use them to motivate, uplift, encourage, inspire the women that are in your life. So as you know, if you've been tuning in for the month of April, we set aside the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show, set aside this month to celebrate and honor women for the entire month. And so that's basically what we've done for this month. And before we get into our discussion tonight, we're going to be talking about the power of woman's divinity. The power of woman's divinity. We're going to talk about that tonight. But before I get into that discussion, I want to take some time to just thank every guest that have come that has been a guest host on the show this month. And I appreciate everyone that came on to help us to celebrate women this month and to help us, just to honor women. Not to say that women shouldn't be honored every day or every month, but we just wanted to take a month out just to do that. And as I said, if you have been following the show, then you know that there were three things that I heard this year, and one was that it was the year of the greater, and the second one is that it was the year of the woman, and the third one was that it was the year of the collab. And so I just wanted to take some time out just to have a show that would just celebrate and honor women, not to diss the men, but just to honor the women. Now, incidentally, since we did give the women their time to be honored, the month of May, I'm going to dedicate the show to men, and we're going to celebrate and honor the men, And so please stay tuned for that show. And just as we wanted the men, women to celebrate us and to be a part of what we were doing and celebrating you, we want you to do the same in celebrating men. So I don't want you to disappear the month of May while we're celebrating and honoring men. I want you to tune in and help us to support them. Perhaps there's going to be some things said or some things that's shared by the men that are coming on that will help you to understand them better, help you to encourage, support, and inspire them, as just as we want them to have an understanding about us. The first person that we're going to have to come on next month is a very dear friend of mine, Daryl Nichols. He will be the first guest that we'll have the month of May, and he's going to be talking about men's PMS, which is power, money, and sex. So you don't want to miss that. It's going to be great, and we're actually going to do that May the 10th, which is the second Thursday in May, because I will be in Jamaica on March the 3rd, I'll be in Jamaica, so I will not be doing the show live on March, on May the 3rd, I will be in Jamaica, and then so we will start our men's month the second Thursday in May, which will be May the 10th, and we'll have none other than Daryl Nichols here with us. So please come back and as he share about the men's PMS, power, money, and sex. It's going to be juicy. I know it is. So at any rate, I wanted to get that out the way. And really quick, I want to say I'm still giving away my free money book. If you want that, just inbox me on Facebook, or you can also request it by email. And my email is swillis@lifecoachsheilawillis.com. So if you want that money book, it's the 10 simple ways to manifest money using the law of attraction. And it's on Amazon.com. It's on Amazon, but I am giving it away free for a limited time. So if you want it, please do send me an email or send me an inbox on Facebook. I'm on other social media, but I'm on Facebook more than any other place. And so I have a personal page there. I have my Abundance Coach page there. So if you send me an inbox on Facebook, I'll get that link out to you. If you send me an email requesting it, I'll get the link out to you. So either way, I want to give you my money ebook. So please get in touch with me if you like to have that. And secondly, just trying to get all of these announcements out the way before we get into our discussion about the power of woman's divinity. I also have created new t-shirts that I would very much love to have your support on. One is called Hey Auntie. It is a dedication to the Black Panther movie. For those of you who saw the movie, you know what that was about. So it's entitled Hey Auntie. It's a really cute design. I would appreciate your support in either sharing the t-shirt with others if it's not your flavor. And if you like it, you know, I would appreciate, you know, you purchasing a t-shirt. And then the other one is the Queen Squad. Those are the two new shirts that I have created that are on my website, which is www.lifecoachsheilawillis.com. If you click on the shop link, you will see those t-shirts there. Incidentally, they are 30% off for a limited time, 30% off with free shipping. You can't beat that with a stick. So if you're in, you know, in the market for some new inspirational tees, please go to my website. I have those two shirts there, but I have some others there as well. And so the ones that I'm featuring is the Hey Auntie shirt, the Queen Collection, which is the Queen Squad, and there's another one there too that I'm featuring, but for right now I can't remember what it is. But if you go to my website, every shirt is listed there. Every shirt is listed there. So if you don't want, you know, the featured ones, you're more than welcome to shop the other ones. I do have videos there. I have audio tapes there. I also have ebooks, you know, on my site as well. So I would appreciate your support in that area. And thank you very much. So I think that's all of the announcements that I have right now. So let me go ahead and share with you. Let's start tonight's discussion. Oh, I do want to say that this show is pre-recorded. I'm not with you live tonight because I'm actually in Chicago this week, and I wasn't able to, or I knew I wouldn't be able to come to you at 5:30, which is our normal time, Central Standard Time. So I'm recording this and ahead of time, so I would be able to present it to you this week. I didn't want to do a message that had already been done. I really, really wanted to conclude the month of April. As we have been celebrating and honoring women, this is discussion that we're having tonight. I really wanted to get this message to you as we conclude the month of April with celebrating and honoring women. I believe women need to hear this message, this discussion tonight. So I wanted to pre-record it to make sure you get it, to sum up and to end our month of celebrating and honoring women. So you won't be able to call in tonight, but if you have any questions, if you have a comment or remarks or something that you want to express about what I'm saying tonight, feel free to send me an email, feel free to send me an inbox, feel free to go on my site and, I have a comment form there. You know, you can put your comments, your questions or whatever in that form on my website. It's on the homepage. But feel free to contact me in any way. You can go to my on-demand channel here, and there is a place where you can leave a comment, ask a question, or share your experiences or whatever. And my on-demand channel here is blogtalkradio.com/thehappymindhappylifeshow. So either way, get in contact with me if you have any questions, concerns, remarks, you want to share your experience, so on and so forth. So let's go ahead now and discuss the power of woman's divinity. I want to say before I get into this discussion tonight that this episode really isn't for the extreme religious, because it just may challenge your belief system. But I'm going to share with you tonight the revelation that I have and the things that I have on my heart and that I believe the Spirit has shown me. Now, as I always say, this is not a religious show. And so we're not trying to convert anyone's belief or anyone's faith, but truth is truth. And it just transcends all religion. So regardless of your religion tonight, I believe that this show will help you, because truth is truth. And so I want to first start out by saying this to women and encouraging you in this way. For so long, you know, I'm going to use this example. I was talking with a young lady, and she was expressing that at one time she believed in God, you know, and she believed that there was a higher power. She happened to have been of the Christian faith. But when she read some passages in the Bible, and when she would go to, you know, different church services or whatever, they made her to feel that God didn't necessarily like women, you know. And so she began to say, I believe God hates women. I believe that he doesn't like women, you know, maybe not hate them, but he doesn't like them. And for whatever, you know, reasons, he is after women or wanting to punish women. And so she left her faith because she could not or did not feel she wanted to serve a God that didn't like women. And so I thought about what she was saying, and I shared some things with her, but I thought about what she was saying, and I thought about women on a whole and how women, and again, every woman doesn't fit this category, but I'm speaking to, about women on a whole now. Generally speaking, women have a, when it comes to their worthiness in their relationship often with God, they feel similar to what this young lady felt or feels. They feel like they're second-class citizens. They feel like they come in second when we talk about man and God and creation and all of that. Women often feel like they're second-class citizens because of some of the things that have been said in the Bible and because of some of the ways that women were treated back in the biblical days or before Christ's days and even some after Christ came. And so because of that, women sometimes feel like they're not adored by God, you know, or they feel like they don't have the same status with God or connection. I won't say connection. I'll say that they don't have the same status with God that perhaps man does. So I want to kind of share some things with you tonight with hopes that that's going to clear that up for you a bit. Now, again, some of my religious-minded people, you may find this shocking. You may think it may be sacrilegious or whatever, but I just challenge you to be open. And no matter what information comes and from whomever and wherever it comes from, always pray about it. Pray it through, you know, whether you're Christian or non-Christian. Any information that comes to you that perhaps is new, that perhaps that challenges the way that you believe, you can always pray about it. You can always research it more yourself. But I'm going to share with you what I believe God's relationship is with women. I'm going to share with you what I believe, how I feel that God feels about women. And so if you are feeling like a second-class citizen or you're feeling like you don't measure up with God or measure up to God's the way God feels about you or you don't feel worthy, you know, sometimes women don't feel worthy, you know, because of the things that have been done and because of the things that have been said and generally because of the way society treats women right now. You know, society on a whole treats women like second-class citizens, you know. And so it's just handed down from generation to generation. Sometimes people feel like the only thing women are worthy to do is to have babies and tend a house, you know, or cook a meal or whatever, you know, that's, you know, all of their worthiness. And I'm not saying, again, every individual. I'm speaking on a whole. And we know that a lot of things have shifted. We know that a lot of things have changed for women. And we know that there are a lot of men and women that don't think that way anymore, but there's still that there's still an overcast or shadow over women. Women are not paid the same wages as men. They can work the exact same job, have the exact same education, the exact same experience, and still be paid less than a man in the same career. So we still do have these prejudices in our system against women because we're not viewed as worthy or as valuable. And I believe that it stems from, whether you're Christian or non-Christian, I believe it stems from way back in the day where we're mad at Eve because, you know, it said that she ate an apple, but the scriptures don't say it was an apple. It just says fruit. And we know that was the beginning of mankind plummeting into sin and being judged by God. So I think that women on a whole have gotten this bad rap all through the years because of the mistake that was made or the error that was made by Eve, the mother of mankind. So let's talk about that just for a moment. If we're going to talk about scriptures and what happened there, we know, or you, if you don't know, the mandate that was given in the beginning of what to do and what not to do, what tree to eat from and what tree not to eat from, that mandate was given to man, the male. That mandate was given to the male. And so when Eve came along and when she had the discussion with the adversary about him encouraging her, I'm just going to trust that everyone knows this story and this Bible story. And if you don't, you know, maybe you can go to the book of Genesis and kind of read it for yourself, even if you're not a Christian, so you can better understand what I'm saying here. So the account that happened with God giving instructions on what to do in the beginning, those instructions were given to the male. And I'm going to say male because I'm going to show you something about the word man in just a moment. So that instruction was given to the male. And so he had the responsibility to give that to the woman. So it's just like someone tells me something, and then I'm responsible for passing it on. They say, "Well, tell Joe when you see him, blah blah blah." Well, I'm responsible to passing that information on to Joe the way I received it. But obviously, when you read the scriptures, he didn't pass the information on the way that he received it, or Eve didn't interpret it the way that he gave it to her. Perhaps her interpretation was different. Well, it was it not up to the person that was sharing the information to make sure that she had the right interpretation, that she truly understood what she was supposed to do, or, you know, in order to carry out the instruction? I say yes. You know, it is my responsibility if I am sharing some information that was given to me by Steve to give to Joe to make sure that Joe understands. Joe, did you get that? Repeat that back to me. What did I just say? What is it that you're supposed to do? And so how is a person accountable for something unless they truly understand what they're supposed to do? Now, the reason why I say that Eve didn't truly understand the instruction, or she had the wrong perception of it, was because of what she said. When the adversary said to her, you know, look at the tree, you know, eat it, you know, it's good for you, your eyes are going to be open, and I'm paraphrasing all of this, your eyes are going to be open, you're going to be like God when you eat it. Her response was, no, she said, we're not supposed to touch it. We're not supposed to look at it, or lest we die. We're not even supposed to touch. But that's not what the original instructions were. And I'm not going to get all into that because I'm not trying to do a Bible study. I'm just saying perhaps if she had been given better instructions, or perhaps if Adam, which was in charge of the garden, had given her a better instructions or made sure she had the right interpretation, then maybe she wouldn't have ate off of it, because she obviously didn't have the right information because of her response to the adversary. So I said that to say this. Because of her fall, because of her error, and then we can also, you know, because of her error, let me slow down because I really want you to understand this. Because of the error that she made, because that caused mankind to fall into the judgment or fall under the judgment of God until Christ was born, then I believe from that time on, woman got a bad rap. even people that are non-Christians may not even know the Bible story, may not have, you know, don't even agree with creation. But because of that energy, because that thing was released into the earth, was released into the atmosphere, that we have a judgment about Eve. We have a negative connotation about women, and it has perpetuated from that time into this time. Oh, but the times are shifting. The times are shifting. This is the year of the woman. God is going to do some tremendous, tremendous things in regards to women, but it's just a shifting overall. You know, we're going to see a shift in what is going to happen with women in business, what's going to happen with women entrepreneurs, entertainment. I mean, I don't care what walk of life, mothers, I don't care what walk of life a woman is in. There's just going to be some tremendous, tremendous changes coming for women because the shift of the energy is happening. Women are going to become aware, more aware of who they are and their divinity. And then that is going to help them to stand and be the being that God created them to be. So let me step back for a moment because I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just wanted to mention that this is why I believe that woman has such a bad rap, that it started way back in the BC days in the Garden of Eden when the woman made the error and followed, allowed the adversary to talk her into something. But let me say this. When we talk about something of value and we talk about the worth of something or the value of something, when you value something, you protect it. When you value something, you protect it. And God values women. And God wants to protect women. When you value something, you want to protect it. So here we are. Let me just, you know, go back to the garden just for a moment. Here we are in the garden. And even though woman was created to be a helpmate to the man was created and has the responsibility of the protector over the woman. And so when that happened, when that thing happened in the garden, when Eve was deceived, and Adam found out, he could have restored her because he had that power to do that. He had that grace to do that. He had that anointing to do that. He had that authority to do that. But he didn't. He just went with her. He went with what? And matter of fact, he tried to blame her. First of all, again, go back and read that if you like. He tried to blame her at first when God came along the scene and said, "Well, what happened here? What's up? You know what happened?" He said, "That woman you gave me." So he blamed her and God. "That woman you gave me. That's why we in this mess." Well, maybe we're in the mess because you didn't share the instructions properly. Or maybe we're in the mess because you didn't give her make sure she had the right interpretation. And then at that point, he could have redeemed her, you know, because what you value, you protect. So he should have, you know, protected her more, you know. And that's just my thing. I know, again, Lord Jesus, you know, people will have, you know, a rebuttal against what I'm saying, but you read it, you get your own interpretation. The main thing I'm trying to show you in this is that this is why I believe women have gotten a bad rap all of these generations and generations and generations and generations because of what has happened way back in the biblical days before Christ ever came upon the scene. So that's that, okay? So here I want to show you again, and I have to go to scriptures to show you this because that's my foundation. And again, even though you may not be a Christian, truth is truth, and I hope you can see the truth in what I'm sharing with you. So let's go back again. Let's go back to the very beginning. Let's go back to when God created mankind. because women feel like they're second-class citizens. In general, generally speaking, women feel like they're not as worthy or worth the same thing to God, or they're not as valuable to God as man is, you know. But the scriptures say that man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. But when you break down that word man, he's not talking, it's not talking about the male, it's talking about mankind. So mankind was created in the image and the likeness of God. When women read that, they often think that God is just talking about man was created. It didn't say anything about women. Yes, it did. Because the use of man there, the use of the word man there, it's talking about mankind. Man was created in the image and the likeness of God. Mankind was created in the image and the likeness of God. Because if you go on further, and I don't want to quote verses and texts because, again, this is not a Bible study. So you just have to go to the book of Genesis and begin to read it if you want to actually have the scripture reference to this. But in the very beginning, after it says to you that man was created in the image and the likeness of God, it goes on further to say male and female created he them. So it tells you that he created the male and he created the female, and he created them in his image. So just as man, the male, was created in his image, so was the female created in his image. Yes, female, yes, woman, you are created in the likeness and in the image of God. You're like him. You favor him. You have his creative ability. You have his divinity. You are like God. And so male and female created he them. But because we have, speaking of woman on a whole, have received such a bad rap all of these years, or women being treated like they're not equal to man, like they're not equal or not valuable to God, like they're not, they don't have a worth to God. Yeah, you do. Yes, you do. And here's something I want to show you. The scriptures talk about, you know, when you read scriptures, you're here, or you're read about, or you're hearing sermons or messages or whatever, you will hear them refer to the hand of God. We'd always talk about the hand of God. The hand of God moved. The hand of God saved them. The hand of God delivered. God intervened by the work of your hand. We're always referring to the hand of God. And we're talking, when we refer to the hand of God, we're talking about the power of God. We're talking about the authority of God. We're talking about him intervening in certain situations, or him showing of himself. You know, God, we want to see your hand. You know, we're saying we want to see your intervention. We want to see your power. We want to see your authority. We want to see your assistance in this area. So the hand of God moves. When we talk about a hand, and then as I showed you the symbolic, what that means symbolically, then I want to show you this. And because we're on the radio and you can't see me, incidentally, I'm going to try to figure out how to do, as I'm doing my radio show, how to do a Facebook Live at the same time so that people can hear and see me. But that's coming. So at any rate, if I want you to hold your hand up. I don't care if you're a woman or a man. I want you to do it. You know, it's an example for women, but men, you could use the example as well. So hold your hand up, because I'm holding my hand up now. So if you hold up your hand, and then you have the palm of your hand, your thumb, and then you have your four fingers. So if you close up your hand and you make a fist, You close your hand up and you make a fist. And then we can say, this is the hand of God. This is what we have seen move as, you know, symbolically as power, symbolically as authority, symbolic as assistance or help or intervention, or excuse me, intervening, God intervening, you know, in our lives or in our society and our world and our system. You know, this is what we've seen move, you know, the hand of God. And I'm going to refer to a scripture when it was there was a drought and the prophet was praying for rain. And every time he prayed for rain, then he would go out to look to see if he could see the clouds, the rain clouds coming. And what he began to see was like a fist. You know, and they said, and the prophet, well, he sent his servant to look, and when his servant would look, he would come back and say, I think I see something. It's like the, it's like a small fist, you know, like a hand, like a fist, like a, you know. And so when we talk about God moving, I want you to ball up your hand to see like a representation. Let that be a representation of God, the representation of his hand, the representation of his authority, of his power, of his intervening in people's lives. Let that be symbolic of that, the hand of God, the hand of God. So we have this fist, and it's related to masculine energy. Because that's basically what we see in our society. That's basically what we have seen since the beginning of time, since God created male and female, since Eve messed up and fell and began to be second-class citizens in people's eyes, not in God's eyes, but in the people's eyes. Woman became a second-class citizen. So we begin to see what we saw emerging, and what we have seen since the beginning is the fist of God. We relate it to the hand of God, but it's masculine energy, and masculine energy is energy that is aggressive. It's energy that is violent. It's energy that is arrogant. It's energy that wants to suppress and take over. It, and that's the type of, that's what masculine energy is. Man, I'm not dissing you. I'm just telling you about your energy. That's what masculine energy is. And that's why if you can look back over generations and generations, you see wars and rumors of wars and, you know, violence, and we're trying to take over this country, and, you know, we're trying to suppress this people, and we got a foot on this person's neck, and we're doggy dog world, you know. You got to pull down somebody to climb up the ladder of success, you know, go after it, doggy dog, don't let nobody beat you, be the first, be the best, you know. Everything is about this aggression. Everything is about getting over somebody else. Even when we talk about success, we say, it's the grind. You know, I'm on my grind. You know, everything is about this forceful energy, because we are in this masculine energy. Since the beginning, we're in this masculine energy. When Eve fell, we entered into this masculine energy because she became a second-class citizen or a second-class person. We kind of push woman back out the way. You messed up, so, you know, we'll push you out the way. And then we, what arose, you know, when man became the head of everything, when, not that I'm not saying that God didn't create him first, and there's an authority and all of that that comes with that. I can't get in all of that because I just don't have the time for all of that in this session. So I'm just going to try to point out what I'm wanting you to get, woman, is that you are divine. That you have been created in the likeness of God. And let me show you why you're needed. Let me show you why you have to get that. Well, let me show you why you got to rise up in that. So here we are in all of this masculine energy. And every time we look around, there's wars and there's so much aggression and there's so much violence and all of these things that are going on because all of that is masculine energy. Now, when God created man or the male, everybody has both feminine and masculine energy, male and female created he them. Not only is that talking about separate individuals, but it's also talking about the one person. You have both masculine and female energy. The energy that's the most dominant is after who you are, meaning if I'm a male, then my masculine energy is more dominant. If I'm a female, then my masculine energy is more dominant. But everybody has both masculine and feminine energy. But because we're living in this time of masculine energy, that's what we see more of. We see more of that going on. But that is the fist of God. The hand of God, yes, but it's his fist. So again, if you've held out your hand, you've made this fist, yeah, we've seen the movement. Yes, we've seen the intervention of the hand of God. But what we have not seen, what we have not seen on a whole, we've seen little spurts of it, you know, over the generations. We see little spurts of it. But what we're going to see more of is feminine energy because we need it. We need it to balance everything out. We need some feminine energy. And so when we begin to see this feminine energy, when woman began to rise up and embrace her divine feminine self, more of that feminine energy is going to be released in the earth. More, and so that's why you hear me say when a woman heals, she'll heal the nation. Man can't do it by himself. He doesn't have that energy. He doesn't have enough of that energy. He's not, that's not his dominant nature. So we need that feminine part. We need that feminine. We need the woman to rise up in her feminine energy. And her feminine energy is peace. It's harmony. It's balance. That's what a woman brings. That peace, that balance. That's her feminine energy. That softness, that understanding, that kindness. I'm not saying men don't have that. I'm talking about the dominant energy that men and women walk in. On a whole, I'm not speaking about individuals now because I don't want a man to feel like, wait a minute, I'm understanding and I want peace. No, I'm not talking about individuals now. I'm talking about on the whole masculine energy and on the whole what feminine energy is about. So again, we have this fist, the hand of God. But if you open up your hand and you see the fingers, that's that feminine energy. And that's what we need. We need the whole hand of God. We need to see all of God. And I just believe that we have not seen anything about the masculine part. But if women were created in the image and in the likeness of God, he has feminine energy. How else would we have it? How else could a woman be feminine? And I know people going, oh, my God, that's sacrilegious. God is a man. He is not a woman. I didn't say he was a woman. He's God. He's not a man either. He's a spirit. He's energy. So he's not a man or woman. I know we refer to him as he, and I know he has referred to himself as he, but he's not a man in the sense that we know man to be. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying, you know, and that all my Christians, you know, friends and those that listen to the show don't run off and never come back again. But if you study this self for yourself, you see, there's a scripture, he said, I'm not a man that I should lie. And people just think that that means he's not a man that will lie, but he said, I'm not a man. I'm not a man. He's a spirit. He's a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's not a man, you know, and he has masculine energy. You know, there's the spiritual part of him, because I know some people can't relate to the word energy, but you know, we all have energy. Everything is made of energy. Everything consists of energy. We're energy. It's what we are. You want to say we're spirit? Okay, I'll get with that. But we're energy. Everything is made of energy. And God is energy. And he's a spirit. So he's not male and he's not female. But he has that energy. Elsewise, women wouldn't have it. We couldn't be what we are if God wasn't that too, because we're created in the image and the likeness of him. Male and female created he them. So we are in his image, that feminine part of us, that self part of us, that peace. You know, us wanting that peace and that balance and that harmony, all of that loving, beautiful things. Look around. Look at the earth. Look how beautiful it is. The flowers and the sunsets and the sunrises. Oh, my God. All of these beautiful things and beautiful surroundings that we have. You know, the people call it Mother Nature, but that's God. That's God. That's the feminine side of God. That's the feminine side that you see of him. But because we want to just say, you know, we want to stick with that masculine energy when it comes to him, that's why some people see God as this big, angry person sitting on a throne waiting to bash somebody's head in. They see him like that because they're relating to just this masculine energy that we have seen in the earth. So they only see him as this judgment and this harsh, cruel person that just waiting to bash somebody over the head, waiting to hurt somebody. But God is love. God is not just judgment. He's love. And so for us to begin to see more of this peace and more of this balance and more of this harmony and beauty and all of these things, we need the feminine and the masculine to rise up together. I'm not saying we're pressing the men down. I'm not saying that we are taking over the men. I'm saying, women, you have to rise up into your divine feminine self and be all of the glorious creature that God has given you to be. No, don't try to be like a man. You weren't made to be a man. You are made to be who you are. And what I mean by that, we see women, well, we got it on both hands. You know what I mean? We have the extreme to the left and the extreme to the right. And I'm going to say the extreme to the right would be we want to be like a man. We want to be as strong as, we want to bodybuild, and we want our muscles. And I'm not saying you can't have muscles. If that's what you want, do your thing. But I am saying, man, God created woman in a certain way. He created man in a certain way. We have our certain makeup, you know, within us and our DNA, that we're shaped different. Women are generally soft and men are usually more hard. And that's the way God created him. I can only imagine what Adam looked like. Oh, my God, the original man, I can only imagine. We see these men with all of these cut six packs and all that kind of stuff and muscles ripping. I can only imagine what the original man looked like. And then at the same time, I can only imagine what Eve looked like, you know, and all of her curves and whatever, that when people say, you know, that Adam called her woman because when he looked at her, he said, whoa, you know, and man, but really it's because she's a womb man. She's a man, but she has a womb. And so anyway, again, God created mankind. He created man. He created one man, a man with a womb. And so that's why we have both female and masculine energy. I wish I could go more into this. I hope I'm not confusing anyone. This show is pre-recorded and you can't call in and ask questions, but you can send me an email. You can leave comments or whatever if you have some questions. I don't have enough time to break down everything that I'm saying, but I want you to get at least enough information to maybe start challenging the way that you think, and you will begin to see women as valuable and as worthy to God, because we always have been. Yeah, he had to check Eve for what she did. And yeah, that fell on us, but he never stopped loving her. You know, she never ceased to be who he created her to be in his eyes. He always seen woman as valuable, and woman has always been worthy and valuable of his, worthy of his love and valuable to him. And I could take you through many, many, many passages and scriptures to show you that. And even the places where it seemed like he is punishing woman because he put man over her. And I'll just say this real quick, because again, I'm making references of the Bible because that's my foundation. And if you're a non-Christian, I pray that you can still see the truth in what I'm saying for you, and perhaps in what it, what your whatever your faith is, and whatever you go to for your instructions and your beliefs. You know, that there is something in there that is showing you and will show you the value of woman in God's eyes, because we still are valuable. And I know there are some cultures where women are very, very suppressed and oppressed, but that's just, that's not God's will. That's not God's will. That's man's doing. And so even when we see, for instance, where the scriptures talk about man is the head and the woman should submit, you know, to her husband. And a lot of times we look at that as being, oh my God, God is so mean to women. You know, they can't, you know, they got to submit, you know, and the man's going to be ahead over them. Incidentally, men that are listening to me tonight, you have authority over your wife, and your wife is to submit to her husband. That don't mean that every woman submits to a man. You gotta study to show yourself approved. If you study that out, you'll see that. So it's not about me submitting to a man that's not my husband. It said, let the wife submit to her own husband. And if you ain't my own husband, I don't submit to you. And so that needs to be cleared up, because somewhere we think that every woman is supposed to be submissive to man, but that is not what the scriptures say. And in addition to that, it says to your own, to her own husband. And then if you go on further, it says, let them submit one to another. So there's some submission that should be on the man's side too. Again, can't get into all of that. Just wanted to mention it. But if you look at that scripture and you think about it, and you would think that, again, woman is not valuable. She is not worthy to God. He wants her to bow down. He wants her to be submissive. But submission is a gift. Submission is a gift to woman, because, again, anything you value, you protect. And God is just giving you some protection. He's giving you something to cover you and to protect you. And if you think about it, single ladies, listen, if you think about this in this way, and even wives, think about it in this way. When we are single, we're carrying everything. We have to do everything, and we carry everything. But when you come into a marriage or covenant, a partnership with a man, then he becomes your protection, your covering. Then you can release some of that stuff that you've been carrying. You can release some of that burden. You can release some of that weight that you're carrying on your shoulders and shift it. Here you go. Because his shoulders were built for that. Men and women are built to do different things. You know, and so give that stuff over to him and let him have it, and take a breath of release, waiting to exhale. I mean, exhale, waiting to exhale, you know. Let that stuff go and give it over to him and let him be in his role and you be in yours. It's a gift. It really is. It's a gift. I am thinking about doing a woman's channel and just talking about all these kind of things, submission and, you know, the different things that women are challenged with and struggle with, and just doing a women's channel where we can come together and just talk about these kind of things with, like I'm doing now, because I want to do my shows more like a fireside chat. Pull up a chair, let's talk. You know, and so I was doing it a little different when I started out, giving you action steps and that kind of thing. But it flows better with me, or I flow more to my true self with just saying, hey, sit down, let's talk, let's have a chat. Not to say that I won't bring action steps if it's necessary, but I really desire for my shows to flow more like this, where you can just pull up a chair and we can just talk about stuff and just be real about it, you know. And so the bottom line to what I'm saying here is that, women, you are as valuable to God as men are. And you have been created in his image. You have been created in his likeness, which means that whatever God is and who he is, so are you. What is in God is in you, because when he created you, he gave that to you. And so you are natural creators. You are natural manifestors. You are... You know, what I'm going to encourage you to do this. Begin to affirm to yourself every single day. And it, depending on where you are as far as your mindset of your worth, if you feel like you're not worthy, if you have low self-esteem for whatever reason, begin to affirm to yourself, I am enough. I am enough. Enough. Do some mirror work. And what mirror work is that you look into the mirror and you look into your own eyes. You look into your eyes and you affirm your worthiness. You affirm your value. Look into your eyes and say, I am enough. Look into your eyes and say, I am good enough. Look into your eyes and say, I am worthy. Look into your eyes and say, I am valuable. And whatever else you want to affirm. But begin to affirm your own worth. Begin to say, you know, almost every day, one of the daily affirmations that I use, and yeah, it is a scripture, I say to myself every day, I have been created in the image and the likeness of God. I am created in the image and the likeness of God. I am like him. I am like him. I've been created in his image. I've been created in his likeness. I am divine. Divinity lives in me. God lives within me. I am like God. Begin to affirm these things to yourself. Begin to talk to yourself. Begin to strengthen your own self. And you know what makes mirror work so powerful? Is because we look at ourselves on a daily basis. Some of us more than once a day. At least once a day. Most people look in the mirror. And generally, when we look in the mirror, we have something negative to say about ourselves. We're looking in the mirror and say, you know, my eyes are too puffy. Oh, I got another wrinkle. Oh, my lips are too big. Oh, my nose is too big. Oh, my face is too fat. Oh, my hair is ugly. Oh, I'm looking fat. I mean, we say all of these things about ourselves. Just think about it. You know, when we go into the mirror and we look at ourselves in the mirror, what is the first thing that comes to us? Is it something positive or is it something negative? Do we look in the mirror and instantly say, ooh, you're beautiful? Or do we look in the mirror, ah, I look too sleepy today. Oh, my eyes are too, you know what I mean? Do we look into the mirror and the first thing we say is that I look great, I'm hot, I'm beautiful, I'm sexy, you know? Or do we, is the first thing we say about ourselves something negative? And if it is, we need to change that. We need to look into the mirror and look at ourselves and tell ourselves how beautiful we are. And yay, you know, there's nobody that's perfect, right? Everybody that is in this earth suit has maybe some type of flaw in their earth suit, because we're all fabulously flawed. We're all perfectly flawed. It's what makes us us. You know what I mean? maybe one side of us is a little different than the other side of us, you know, but that's what makes us perfectly flawed. Whatever your thing is, whatever that imperfection that we deem to be negative makes you you. And if there's something about yourself that you can change about yourself that would make you feel more confident. Now, you got to have self-love. I don't care what it is about yourself. You know, you may be overweight, but you still got to love you. But there's nothing wrong with working on losing weight. And I hate to say losing weight because, you know, it's said that if whatever you lose, you try to find it. So when you lose weight, you try to find the weight. And I think, and that's why the weight generally comes back more. So we want to get out the headspace of losing weight and just release it and let it go so it don't come back again. So if you are in a place where maybe you have picked up more weight than what you desire, doesn't make you mean that you're not beautiful anymore. Doesn't mean that you are less than what you were. You just want to release some weight, you know, because you'll feel better about yourself. You don't do it for other people. You do it for how you're going to feel about yourself. And that's okay if you want to do that. But you still affirm yourself as being beautiful. You still affirm your worthiness, you know. And here's a here's an authentic moment for me. You know, I have always been what they call a skinny mini. You know, I was always very skinny, you know, very, very skinny. And there was one time in my life I actually wore size zero. You know, I don't even know how people can make a zero, but I actually wore a size zero one time in my life. Generally, my average size was a five, from a three to a five. I fluctuated back, you know, between a three and a five. But at one time, because of some stress that was in my life, I wasn't eating, you know, properly, was eating less than I usually ate. I got all the way down to a zero, and I could take a size three and fold it over and have to pin it. You know, that's how thin I had gotten. But my average size, healthy weight, was about a five. And as I got older and when I started having my children, it seems like every child I had, I gained maybe 5 or 10 pounds. And when, by the time I had my fifth child, then I found myself to be, you know, weighing much more than what I wanted to weigh. And it had a an effect on my confidence, you know, and the way I would feel about myself, because I always saw myself as this small, petite person. And now when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see that back. And not only was it a thing for me about what I thought of myself, it was what I thought people thought of me. So you have to come to a place where, and this is what I said, either I have to come to a place where I'm going to accept myself as who I am, or I'm going to, let me go back, not who I am, I'm going to accept myself as the weight that I have gained, or I'm going to do something about the weight. Because who you are doesn't change. Who you are is who you are. It doesn't matter if you're heavy, if you're light, if you're tall, if you're skinny, if you're black, if you're white. Who you are is who you are, period. So I want to make sure we understand that. But what we have to begin to do, we got to decide, you know, if we're not satisfied with the situations that we're in, it shouldn't come from a place of low self-esteem. It shouldn't come from a place of I will feel worthy when I lose 20 pounds or release 20 pounds. I will feel like I'm valuable when I get that new car or new house. That ain't got nothing to do with your self-worth. That doesn't have anything to do with who you are and who God has created and made you to be. You are worthy simply because you're you. You're valuable simply because you're you, and you were made in the image of the divine, and you can't get no worthier than that. You can't get no more valuable than there is a God that sits high on a throne that said, I'm going to make you look like me. I'm going to create something like me. How can that not be worthy? How can that not be valuable when you are in the image of divinity? And when you begin, woman, to accept your divinity and you start embracing your divine feminine self, when you heal yourself, when you become healed, the nations are going to be healed. The nations are waiting for the woman to stand up and be her divine, authentic, feminine self. Not trying to be like the man, because you're not a man. You wasn't created to be like him. Let him be him and you be you. You don't have to do or prove that you can do everything a man could do. I know there's some things I can't do that a man can do. I don't want to do them. And there's things that I can do that he can't do. You know, and that's why we come together to balance each other. What he don't have, I got. What I don't have, he got. We balance each other. That masculine and that feminine is supposed to balance each other. It's supposed to fit together like a hand in a glove. Not trying to take over somebody, each other's role. Not trying to flow over into somebody else's energy. I'm going to have a dominant masculine energy and be like the man. Why? For what? Or he's going to flow in the dominant feminine energy and be like the what? Why? Why? Why not just be who you were created to be? Be who you were created to be. Let him do him, and we do us. And there's no competition. There's no competition when it comes to male and female. There's no competition with the energies of that. Am I saying that a woman not supposed to be strong? Nope, not saying that. Because, again, there's masculine and feminine energy in everybody. Am I saying that men are not supposed to be soft? Nope, not saying that. But that shouldn't be the dominant energy. That's just like, you know, here's what I have a page for those of you who follow me on Facebook, and you may or may not know, I have a page that is called Sexy Secrets for Women Only. And it's basically about women embracing their divine feminine selves. And I pump you up to let you know that you're worthy, you're valuable, you're strong, and you're not a second class citizen and all of that, you know. And so here's my saying. I think this is secret number two. That the perfect combination of the divine feminine woman is soft and strong. It's a combination, a perfect combination of that. I'm not too strong. Well, I'm taking over, or I'm viewing masculinity. But I'm not weak either, because sometimes we think about femininity as being weak. No, it's not weak. It's very strong. But it's not strong like the masculine energy. You get what I mean? It's not like a man strong. It's a perfect combination of strength and softness. Perfect combination of that. I'm a very strong woman, but I'm not man strong. But I'm strong. I have strength. I can go through stuff. I can deal with things. I don't buckle under a pressure and stresses, and women have upheld families for years, upheld the church, upheld so many things, you know, the family structure. So, no, I'm not saying that women are weak and should be weak, not at all. I'm saying you should be feminine. And if we don't know what that is, then we need to do a lot more teaching and a lot more discussion on it, because being feminine is not about being weak, and being feminine is not putting your foot on the man's neck. It's not about bashing men. It's not about that. It's not about trying to take over what a man does. We shouldn't be competing with one another. We need to find that harmony and that balance between each other, and that's when we're going to see things change in our society, because I'm telling you, the world needs some feminine energy. All this violence that we're seeing, all of this hatred that we're seeing. And you could say, well, I don't think it's that. I think we need to do this, that, and the other. I'm telling you, what we're seeing is masculine energy. And when we begin to see more peace, when we begin to see more balance, when we begin to see more harmony, when we begin to see more of that feminine energy, and that's going to come from women rising up. That's going to come when women rise up and walk in their divine feminine selves and realize that we don't have to compete, man. It ain't about that. It ain't about that. It is about us being who we were created to be. God didn't miss out on anything when he created you. God didn't shortchange you. And if you just think about a woman and who she is, a woman in all her glory, there is absolutely nothing like a woman that was created. I mean, we carry babies. We grow babies in our womb. What? And anything that you receive, anything that a woman receives, she multiplies. That's so tremendous. Anything a woman receives, she has the grace, the power, the ability, the anointing to multiply it. Men, you better know that. You better hear that. Because if you give your woman grief, she's going to multiply it. If you give her happiness, she's going to multiply it. And that's why this saying, and I know men, some men have, I've heard them, they hate this saying, that a happy life, I mean, a happy wife, happy life. Men, well, what if I got the man got to be happy? Well, no, we're not saying that men are supposed to be happy. We're trying to show you that what you give a woman, she multiplies. And if you give her happiness, oh, my God, she's going to multiply that thing, and your home is going to be happier. Your life is going to be happier. She's going to find ways to make you happy. You know, and if you give her happiness, she'll multiply it. If you give her grief, she's going to multiply that too. If you give her encouragement, she's going to multiply it. You give her joy, she's going to multiply it. Whatever you give a woman, she's going to multiply and give it back to you. That's just like men give us their seed. We multiply that thing and give them a baby. So it's anything woman, and it don't have to come from man. Anything you receive, you're going to multiply it. So if you are receiving all that stress on your job, you multiply it and you give your family heck or the people around you. So that's why I stress and I encourage people to live your happy, find your happy place. Find your passions, find your purpose, find the things that make you happy. Because when you're flowing in that energy, men too, when you flow in that energy, more energy comes. But women, when you find yourself in those places of joy and happiness and contentment, you multiply that thing and you release it stronger. That's why I'm saying we need the divine feminine women to stand up and walk in your divine feminine energies, because you will multiply peace. You will multiply harmony. You will multiply joy. You will multiply fairness. You will multiply that. That's why when a woman is healed, the nations are healed. Because if you give that to a woman, she's going to release that back into the nation. She's going to release that peace and joy and harmony and all of that stuff. She's releasing back into the nations. The nations will be healed when the woman rise up and be healed and walk in their divine feminine selves. I trust that. Trust that. I trust that. And it's coming. More and more women are awakening. More and more women are coming into a higher consciousness and understanding who they are, understanding their divine feminine selves, because you are divine and you are divinity. Now, I know there's this popular saying, ooh, I'm a goddess. I'm a goddess, and I'm a goddess, honey. I'm divine. But I'm not talking about just popping. I'm not talking about saying things just because it's the new buzzword or it's the new popular thing to say. It's in fashion. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about truly knowing who you are and truly walking in that, not just wearing it on a T-shirt, but just really truly knowing who you are. Who are you? The being that you were created to be, knowing that to your core and walking and flowing in that, walking and flowing in that. Some people call themselves goddesses, but they don't even know what it means and why they're calling themselves goddesses. And they call themselves that, but do they really have that self-worth in their hearts? I'm not saying they do or they don't. I'm just saying don't let it just be a buzzword. And now we're into the queen. You know, we're calling ourselves queens, and I believe we are queens because I believe we're royalty because the king made us, you know. And then there's some other reasons too, but I won't get into that on this particular show. But I'm encouraging you to be your divine feminine self. I'm encouraging you to know that you were created in the image and in the likeness of your God, your higher power. You were created in that image. And those same creative gifts are within you. I'm encouraging you to walk into your feminine energy and to embrace your feminine energy and to heal yourself. And so that we can release these things into the earth so that the earth and the nations can be healed. So I hope that you got, you know, my intentions for the show was to, you know, just to show you your divinity, your, you know, who you are, the purpose, some of your purpose. I would love to come back and do a show episode on the purpose of woman and to really talk about what I believe woman's purpose is in the earth. But I touched on a little bit of it. And then your connection to God. I just wanted to kind of touch on it a little bit. I could take each of these points and probably do a few episodes on them. And perhaps, like I say, I'm going to pull that woman's channel together and we will begin to do that if that is something that you're interested in. And if it is, please send me an email. Send me an email or leave that on my on-demand channel and tell me you want to have more discussions about things, women's issues, and I will be most happy to do that. So thank you. You know, you've been listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life show. You know, this is a pre-recorded show, so you were not able to call in. But I am thankful to everyone who is listening, as always. Thankful that you're here. I really hope that this show has encouraged you in some manner, that you feel more uplifted in some manner. Men, let's be, you know, men. Let's be better to the women in our lives, whether it's whether it's our spouses or our significant other, or if it's our daughters, our nieces, our mothers, our aunties, whatever, the women in your life, period, whether they are related to you or not related to you. Let's just be more kinder and more respectful and honor the women in our lives more. And then women, honor yourself more. Honor yourself. You know, you're worthy. You know, you're worthy and you're valuable, and honor yourself more. And let's just be good to one another. So we won't be back next week, May the 3rd. I will be in Jamaica and looking forward to that trip. And so we will probably, I'll probably just have a recording that's on my demand channel playing. And then the month of May, for the other weeks in May, we're going to do the power of man, you know, and we'll talk about the power of man's divinity. And we will talk about some other issues and challenges that men face. And I'm going to, you know, I know that it will be very helpful to the men that listen, but I know it's going to be really helpful to you women. We'll get some secrets on what we need to do in the lives of the men that's in our lives. So it should be very, very good. As I said, we're going to kick off the month with Daryl Nichols. He's going to come and talk to us about men's PMS, power, money, and sex. So that's what we're going to kick off the month of May, our celebrating and honoring men for the month of May. So thank you so much again for listening. Please go to my website, www.lifecoachsheilawillis.com. Click on that shop link and treat yourself to a t-shirt and treat someone in your family to a t-shirt, or purchase my video on how to, you know, change your mind, how to change your thoughts to change your world. I have it there as a video. It's also there as an audio. It's a webinar that I did. I also have some other ebooks that's on that page as well. So go there and treat yourself, support us, and we will be very thankful and happy about that. So you've been listening to the Happy Mind, Happy Life Show. And until next time, please keep living your happy.
Today's sales leaders face a difficult task, selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new 3-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.